On Thursday's front page, a federal jury convicted Ahmed Gailani on one count of conspiracy for his role in the terrorist bombings of two American embassies in East Africa. GM is pricing its stock at $33 a share. That's at the top of GM's expected price range. And why censorship in China is no longer squelching stories the government would prefer to keep quiet. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins after this.
This New York Times podcast is brought to you by Ford and voice-activated Sync, the in-car connectivity and entertainment system that features music search with the sound of your voice. Simply say the name of a song, band, artist, or genre of music available on your MP3 player to browse and play the music you want to hear. Sync is a system that's subscription-free, and it's available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. For more details, visit SyncMyRidePodcast.com.
Our top story says the first former Guantanamo detainee to be tried in a civilian court was cleared of all but one charge. Ahmed Gailani was facing more than 280 charges of murder and conspiracy for the 1998 terrorist bombings of the U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania. The attacks were orchestrated by Al-Qaeda. 224 people were killed. Gailani now faces a sentence of 20 years to life in prison, but the verdict may rekindle the debate over whether civilian courts are the place to try accused terrorists. GM will return to the New York Stock Exchange on Thursday. It's been a year and a half since GM filed for bankruptcy. Now GM's initial public offering is bringing in $23.1 billion. That takes the title of largest stock market debut in U.S. corporate history away from Visa. I asked Times reporter Michael de la Merced why GM's price per share crept up as the company got ready for the IPO.
Well, GM and its bankers went on a two-week roadshow around the world where they talked to investors to sort of gauge the appetite for the offering. And the sense was that everyone really wanted to buy into the company, and so that's why they raised the price from initially $26.29 a share up to $33, which was the very top.
Where does this leave the government? This is a question everybody's going to ask. How much will the government own when this is over?
Well, the big reason for the increase in shares that are being sold is actually the government. The government is nearly cutting its position in GM in half. And the whole idea is they wanted to move quickly. They wanted to remove themselves from GM so that the company wouldn't be known as Government Motors anymore. The expectation is that the government might be out of GM within the next year or two.
Times reporter Michael de la Merced. Small classes are increasingly rare in schools here in New York. From kindergarten through eighth grade, the average class now has 24.7 students. That's up from just over 23 a few years ago. 31% of students are now in classes with at least 30 other students. That's up from 23% 2 years ago. Under Chief Justice John Roberts, the Supreme Court has been criticized for issuing politically polarizing decisions. Now the Roberts Court is facing a different complaint. Critics say its rulings are fuzzy and unwieldy. Sometimes they're just long. One decision on a desegregation case ran 47,000 words. That's nearly 12 times as long as the Brown v. Board of Education decision that outlawed segregated schools in the 1950s. U.S. investors are looking for high returns from baseball prospects in the Dominican Republic. The investors are financing trainers or building academies. In return, they get as much as 50% of young players' major league signing bonuses. Agents in this country typically get 5%. Among the investors are New York hedge fund manager Brian Shapiro. Along with Reggie Jackson, he tried to buy the Oakland A's several years ago. In China, communist propaganda officials' heavy-handed attempt to suppress a story has backfired. The drunken son of a police official ran down two college students who were rollerblading. One died the next day. The story is spread, and Times reporter Michael Wine says that's proof the Chinese propaganda machine can be hamstrung in the digital age, especially when it tries to squelch a story about the abuse of power. We'll go inside Thursday's Times after this.
This New York Times podcast is brought to you by Ford and voice-activated Sync, the in-car connectivity and entertainment system that features music search with the sound of your voice. When you have Sync, you can simply say the name of a song, band, artist, or genre of music available on your MP3 player to browse and play the music you want to hear. You can also use the controls included in your vehicle's sound system to control most MP3 players. Sync is a system that's subscription-free, and it's available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. For more details, visit SyncMyRidePodcast.com.
In California, another day, another financial crisis. It's been only 5 weeks since the legislature passed a budget to close a $19 billion shortfall. Now there's a new gap totaling $26 billion more. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger is calling lawmakers back into session next month to deal with part of that problem, but already officials are predicting yet another shortfall after incoming Governor Jerry Brown takes over in January. Outgoing Florida Governor Charlie Crist wants a state pardon for Jim Morrison of the Doors. Morrison was convicted after some very bad behavior at a concert in Miami in 1969. Now Crist says he's convinced prosecutors wanted to make an example of Morrison. Crist's move may be largely ceremonial. Florida doesn't have procedures for posthumous pardons. Morrison died in 1971. That's our preview of Thursday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.